Now, last week we read hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, who said, "Laysa al-witru bihatmin fa'aynatin maktuba, walakin sunnatun sannaha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Talking about witru, that witru is not compulsory, like the five daily compulsory prayers. But this is sunnah that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived down. He explained that the opposition of the Hanafiya is that witru is compulsory. And their position is that you can't pray less than three rak'ah as your witru. Why did the majority of the scholars, the opinion that witru is not compulsory? Then they have the opinion that you can pray less than three rak'ah, based on some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Shafi'i and Yutir. The Khan from Shafi'i and Yutir, the Salaf, من شاف اليوتيوب في واحدة. Based on all this, we said that what? Witru is not composed. That is the opinion of majority of the scholars. Khilafan in Hanafiya. That is against the position of the Hanafiya. They will benefit from it that when it is Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it may refer to things that are compulsory, may also refer to things that are not compulsory. If we say Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam means things that are not compulsory, as the lay people in our society and many societies understand it, that would be wrong. To be wrong in what sense? In that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ أَخَيَرَ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever happens to live long amongst you, or my companions, you will see a lot of disagreement. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ Stick to my sunnah. وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. And the sunnah of the rightly guided caliphs, hold on to it with your mulakit. That shows that sunnah is not something that you like, you do it, if you do it, you be rewarded. If you don't do it, you will not be punished. But can we say whenever sunnah is mentioned, it means something that is compulsory because of this hadith? The answer is what? Is no. Sunnah may also refer to things that are not composed. One of the evidences for that is this hadith. That Ali radiallahu anhu said that I wish to ليس الحتم كأية المكتوبة. Witru is not compulsory like the compulsory salawat. ولكن سنة سنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. But this sunnah that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم laid down. So with this, we can say sunnah means a path or the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which may either be compulsory or what? Or recommended. Which may either be compulsory or recommended based on this hadith. Now, besides the Hanafiya, they also brought some evidences to say that what? Witru is compulsory. One of those evidences is the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the Mi'raj. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the five daily prayer. From 50, it was being reduced, till it remained five. And Prophet Musa alayhi wa sallam told Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go back to Allah and ask him for takhfif, for reduction. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I can't go back, I'm shy to go back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that هُنَّ خَمْسٌ وَهُنَّ خَمْسٌ. They are five, but they have the same reward as the 50 that I mentioned. Now the evidence there for the Hanafiya is that لَا يُبَدَّلُ الْقَوْلُ Nadeya. That is the statement, sorry, the Jumu'ur rather not the Anafiya, that the statement or whatever I said will not be changed. So it is 5. But they have a reward for 50. And this will not be changed. So the said to the Hanafiya, if we say we put it compulsory, that means what? That means that statement of Allah wants to have changed because Allah said it is 5. So the Jumhur of the scholars use all these evidences. So we are still coming to one of the evidences of the Hanafiya, like the Hadith that was later mean is not part of us. Dua does not perform witr. They say that shows that what is compulsory. But the blunt foot is that what is not compulsory. So this is against the position of the Hanafiya that witr is compulsory. Now the next hadith, Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, from Jabir, the son of Abdullah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. Jabir was a companion, his father was also a companion. Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qama fi shahr Ramadan. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Qiyam al-Layl in Ramadan. ثم انتظروه من القابلة. The following day, the people were expecting him to come out. فلم يخرج, he did not come out. وقال, so, after the Salah of the Subh, that is the Fajr prayer, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إني خشيت أن يكتب عليكم الوتر. I'm afraid. What prevented me from coming out is that what? I was afraid that this thing might be made compulsory on you. Right, it's one. Give me a grant and call it. Imam Al-Qana'ani, one of the those who explain Bulugh al-Maram, said Ibn Hajar made a mistake here. This hadith in a Sahih Bukhari, a Muslim, why are you bringing that of Ibn Shaytan? When the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim. Some people took Imam Sulayhani out by saying, it's not that Ibn Hajar was not aware of the hadith, of the presence of hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. But deliberately brought the report of Ibn Shaytan. Why? Because there is mention of witr in it. In the report of Bukhari, we have لَمْ يَمْنَعَنِي أَنْ أَخْرُجَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِلَّا أَنِّي خَشِيتُ أَنْ يُكْتَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ. So I'm afraid, nothing prevented me from coming out except that once I'm afraid that صَلَاةُ اللَّيْلِ will be written upon you. Salat al-Layl is not as clear as what we do. Salat al-Layl is not as clear as what we do. That is one. So, most reports that we have do not mention we do. But that of Ibn Hibban mentioned what we do. That the Prophet mentioned we do. But the question is this hadith authentic? This hadith itself is not authentic. The shame of this hadith has what problem. So that means we'll have to go back to that of Bukhari and Muslim and the likes. They are here, the likes that are authentic. Though, which is not mentioned in there. But what we say for that today, you are referring to the same thing. So the one that mentions which here is not authentic. Ibn Hajar is not. I mentioned that. But if you go back to Ibn Hibban, you study the shame of the reporters of this hadith, you know that what? The hadith is not authentic. So we go back to the ones that are authentic. And the ones that are authentic, It was said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led them, he was praying, then some people joined him. Some said it was in the mosque that he was praying, some said it was between his house, just like a passage between his house and the mosque. So he was praying there. Some people were in the mosque, they saw him praying, so they were what, following his prayer. So they were praying with him. He did that in one report as contained in Messiah and the Life, maybe on the 25th, 6th. So they were expecting him to come out the third day or the third night, he did not show up. In some other report, they were expecting to come out the fourth night, he did not show up. So when it was Fajr, in some reports, it was said that people were knocking the door. In some reports, it was said that some people are shouting that Salah, 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 thinking he had forgotten to come out. Now he did not start with them from the beginning of Ramadan. And he would not join him from the beginning of Ramadan. It was in the 20-something or so night that he was praying, not invite people to come and join him, but people joined him. So he led them the first day, the second day, the third day, or the second day, and the third day, the third night they were expecting him, he did not show up. In one other report, they were expecting him to come out the fourth night, he did not show up. So when it was now Fajr, after leaving them, he said the Prophet of Allah, Salam Tashahada. He did a Tashahud. That is, in Alhamdulillah, and the likes, in Asharallah, something like that. So he did that, and I said, this Salah, I was aware that you people were around. I was aware that you people were around. No report said, La Yafa. عليه صنيعكم. نعرف لم يقف علي شانكم. The situation which was not hidden from me. I was aware of all this. But nothing prevents me from coming out except that إني خشيت أن تفرض عليكم. More report إني خشيت أن تفرض عليكم أو تفرض عليكم صلاة الليل. In another report, in the report of the Akian, the Prophet of Allah said that this Salah, I was afraid. Hatta Hashitu and Tufrodo Aliku. I was afraid to enter that system was made compulsory on you. And it was said, we just told us that Salah to the Qiyamul Layl was compulsory on the Prophet of Allah. Because Allah says, so in a lane, فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا. So that it was compulsion on the Prophet of Allah. But on his ummah, there is no compulsion. Some of the scholars also debated that. He said, no, it was not compulsion on the Prophet of Allah. It was compulsion originally, but later it became something that is also mustahab. But for the ummah, is not compulsory. Except for the Hanafiya who believe that what? We too is what? Compulsory and you can pray less than three. So, the Prophet of Allah said, Hatta khashitu an tufrida alaykum. You people, you know, you are persisting in doing this thing with me. So, the essence of what? I was afraid that this thing might be what? Written on you. In that said, Sallu Kibuyutikum, pray in your houses. Pray in your houses. Afdal Salat, fa inna afdal Salat al Mari fi bayti illa al Maktuba. The best Salat of a man in his house, except the compulsory one. So this hadith was, one of the evidences that those who say, who would bring Salat al-Tarawih in the masjid in Jama'ah is what? It's also bid'ah. Because Allah then said, what happened? Nashitu wa kufuza alaykum. Qasallu fi buyutikum ayyuhan nas. فإن أفضل الصلاة المرء في بيته إلا المكتوبة. From the judge of Islam of the opinion that watch, you can do it in Jama'ah. And that is what part of Ramadan only. Ramadan only. What is the evidence? He said, we saw the Prophet of Islam and we read that Islam did it for them. Or not throughout Ramadan, but he mentioned the reason why he did not do it throughout, because he was afraid. And since his death, since the Prophet of Islam has died, so there is no any fear, because no one who was to be revealed anymore. So that fear is what he wiped away. So because of that, the Jumu'ah said one can do it. But they said what that is during Ramadan only. Coupled with the fact that Umar of Allah Anu also gathered them after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw them praying in the mosque, this one praying alone, this one praying behind this person, he also gathered them. Those who say it is not the best. So prayer at home is still the best. He said, but Umar himself will not join him. The statement of Umar of the man himself is that وَالَّتِ تَنَمُونَ عَنْهَا أَفْضَلْهِمْ مَيَقُمْ. The time that they live, that is the last part of the night, is better for them. Rather than praying, so Umar of the man will not join them. Why to be the best, Umar of the man would have been what? The one championing it. But the response to that for Allah Allah is that Umar of the land also sanctioned that. And the Prophet Allah then said what? Was Sunnah al-Khulafai Rashidin al-Mahdiyin. Follow the Sunnah of the Khulafai Rashid al-Mahdi. As well as what they say did not go against what the Prophet Allah said. Those who say you can't pray it in Jama'ah, they say no. The hadith of follow the Sunnah of the Khulafai Rashidun, that is what they do all together. If they combine one of the Khulafai Rashidun said something that contradicts the statement of the Prophet of Allah, we will not follow that. Even if it was to be Abu Bakr of the line, because our Eastern Israel, Abu Bakr of the line, will make much mistakes, will make mistakes, and will be corrected by his fellow companions. Will be told, for instance, that the Prophet of Allah said so and so. Umar of the line will attempt to do ijtihad. And the following year, he may change his opinion on that very issue. So, the sunnah that we should follow, according to the argument of Imam Sunnahani and some others, is that the way, their way that were in line with that of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And that is what all of them agree upon. But what one Khalifa also did, if we discover that this contradicts the text, we will not follow that. And that's why those people, they maintain their position that no, that is not the text. And there are some Kafar as well, and some of the companions like Abdullah ibn Umar of the Lani who prefer to pray alone. It was said that somebody said that, can I pray behind the Imam in Taraweeh? He said, can't you reach? He said, I can reach. And then you want to be like somebody, just like Shima, like a donkey. So just stay behind him, you are not saying anything. So, all these are evidences that those who say to pray it at all is the best. Why the rule of the scholars they say to pray it in Jama'ah is what is the best. Based on the hadith, Man salla ma'a al-imam hatta yansarifa kutiba lahu qiyamul layla. Whoever prays with the imam till the imam finishes salah, it will be written for him. Only if it is that they use the praying. It will be written for him as if they prayed the whole night. And like Salatul Jama'ah, Abdul Min Salatul Fadl. Salah of Jama'ah is better than the Salah you pray alone. Now the first thing is, both of them have evidences. If you pray behind an Imam during Ramadan, and the Salat Taraweeh, those who do not pray, you don't attack them. The reason why we have brought all this is how to manage one another, how to relate with one another. Because being rigid on things that you should not be rigid on is a kind of causing focus, and that is disunity among the Muslims. You shouldn't be rigid on something that the Prophet of Allah himself was not rigid upon, or the companions of the Prophet of Allah were not rigid upon. If some of the things that have brought a kind of disunity among the Muslims. If one takes this opinion, for the fact that he takes this opinion, any person who disagrees with him on his opinion, he will do the deal of that person. Attack him, blast him. Whereas this thing, if we take it back, the Salaf story, they themselves disagree upon that issue, and they welcome one another. So that's why we should look at issues very well. The issues that you are discussing, are the issues where the Salaf is starting, where difference of opinion evolves, is permissible, or issues that what there is no room for Salaf. There are issues like that. Not all issues that scholars disagree upon will say what there is room for what difference of opinion. But some people are saying today. Some people, their own da'wah is that what scholars disagree on it, so don't let us fight one another over it. Just taking it like that. Not all issues that scholars disagree upon, we welcome. Sometimes a scholar may say something not knowing that there is what a clear evidence from the Prophet of Allah Sallam attacking his position. So when we see the evidence from the Prophet of Allah Sallam, we say, okay, scholar disagree upon it like that. No. You take the correct position and you precise that other opinion that contradicts that of the Prophet of Allah Sallam severely. But one who takes that position, you look at that person who takes that opinion that contradicts that of the Prophet of Allah Sallam, is it one of those who are spreading the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallam? If yes, you respect his personality. But in the error in which he has fallen into, you precise that error. If that person is one of the enemies of sunnah, then you fire him as well. You know, people, if you have somebody is not one of the proponents of sunnah or one of those who are not interested in sunnah. If somebody is one of the proponents of sunnah, in that case, something that contradicts the sunnah, you correct that mistake. You will say, it's not so person that has said it. Because the truth is greater than any person. But the proponent of that person respects it because it's one of those who are spreading the sunnah, who have dedicated their lives for the spread of sunnah. So the fact that he makes a mistake doesn't mean much. You take him, you strip him off of being one of our sunnah. But if the person is one of the enemies of sunnah, those who are interested in sunnah, you attack the opinion and you also attack that person. So then, if the issue is where ikhtilaf is sa'id, you take the one that convinces you the most. Not a lot of power. And that's why Imam Ahmad will say, "Man idda'a ijma'a faqad kadhab." Whoever claims ijma'a on anything faqad kadhab, so he puts it as what should be like. And what is the meaning of "anna an-nas ikhtalafu"? Who tells him that people have not disagreed on that issue? Somebody who is not well-read, you see him claiming ijma'a. And that's why Imam Shawkani said, the claim to ijma'a only threatens those who are not well-read. Once you hear what ijma'a says, I want to be against ijma'a, you are afraid. But those who are well-read, when you say ijma'a, they tell you there is no ijma'a. This. So what I'm saying in essence is that somebody prays in the mosque, Salatul Tarawih in the mosque with the Jama'ah is okay. Some scholars say, no, it is not okay. Somebody does not pray in the mosque is okay. So how the balanced position is that don't attack this one and don't attack this one. The fact that you do this does not mean those people don't pray in the mosque your iman is reducing. When you say that iman is reducing, you know those that you are saying that iman is not what? Reducing. You have attacked a lot of what? A lot of companions. Whom you have attacked from all the land, who will not join them? And when you say it is bid'ah to also do it, you have attacked a lot of companions who will also do it during time of Umar of the Lanu. And like that, you have attacked a lot of what? A lot of Muslims from our ages. A lot of the Salaf of Sunni who have been doing it from our ages. So we treat this same issue that is treated in Jama'ah, we treat it the way we have treated the issue of 11 Raka. Just as some people maintain 11 Raka, some of you said you can pray more than 11 Raka. We have addressed the same issue, that issue is the way we are addressing training in Jama'ah as well. Now, does this apply to observing all the wafil in Jama'ah? The answer is what? Is no. The scholars, their position is that what? You cannot observe nawafil in Jama'ah except by coincidence. We've given us examples of this. Take for instance, you are praying Salatu Duha. Somebody joins you, no harm. You are praying maybe Salatu Layl outside Ramadan now. Somebody joins you, no harm. So, or you say, okay, let's pray. Maybe a friend of yours visits you and you say, let us pray entire Kufr. Just not something that works is on a regular basis. But for it to be on a daily basis, or weekly basis, or monthly basis, as some societies are doing today, this is what is bid'ah. There is no scholars of this woman of the father that is saying this. Some of them will use to justify their practice that didn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam examine Malik, didn't he lead them in Salah? Didn't the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam be so and so, Anas and his mother, didn't pray with them at all? So they use that to justify whatever they are doing on a regular basis. You know, there is no evidence here in that what? And that those people who are not doing it on a regular basis, they have said, Ghuzayfa ibn al-Yaman, pray with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam outside Ramadan. He joined you. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It was not on a regular basis. Even for a husband and a wife to be doing that on a regular basis is not what the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Once in a while they do it, no harm. What is the evidence? Aisha ibn al-Aminah said that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you are praying for that delay, he wants to pray with you, wake her up. So to show that what? They will not be doing it together. And that is the best family you can see on earth. The family of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when people are picking it today to do it on a regular basis, this is not the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anything organized, the dua, I had you on a monthly basis, on a weekly basis. This is what is bid'ah. Not the practice of the Salaf. So whoever says one can do it, tell him to bring evidence. That it is established that the companions of the Prophet of Allah, they will meet on a weekly basis to do one tahajjud, or to bring to do one nawafil, apart from that of Ramadan. And that's why Imam Abdul Walid in his book Al-Muntaqa also explained things like this. One of the Malikiyah also explained things like this. So we should understand all these principles. So the hadith of Jabir of Al-Aniyu that Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shahr Ramadan thumma intadharu min al-qabila the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed in Ramadan, from Al-Tabaru ibn al-Qadda. The following day, you are expecting him to come out. Falam yakhruj, he didn't come out. Faqala inni khashitu an yuktaba alaykum al-witr. I'm afraid that witr will be written on you. This particular one from Ibn Shibban is da'if. Though they are meaning in Bukhari from the hadith of upon the line, Aisha and many other companions like that. Something strange. But mentioning Witu, this is what is very. So Ibn Hajar brought this to also corroborate the position of the jumhur of the scholars who are saying that Witu is not compulsory, because Witu is specifically mentioned here. But this one, what is da'if, one that is authentic, at once where Witu is not mentioned. Khashitu an tufrada alaykum salatul layl. Khashitu an tufrada alaykum. Without mentioning salatul layl. All these ones are authentic in Bukhari, in Muslim, and many other books like Bayhaqi and the likes. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not, apart from that the head was afraid that it would be written on them. We say that since the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, how will you be able to marry between the statement of this and the prior statement, La yuqatil al-qawl wa da'iyya, that is fine. And the Prophet was still what? Exciting fear that it will make compulsory. And Allah said what? La yuqatil al-qawl wa da'iyya. So that brought a lot of interpretation that has to reconcile between the two statements. Ibn Hajar in his book, Fatih Bukhari, brought a lot of things. Imam Nawawi, and many other scholars like that. But the best interpretation to that or reconciliation is that was talking about the five daily prayer, not talking a compulsory, not talking about the Nawafi. That is one. Or we say that observing it in Jama'ah was what the Prophet was referring to. That is, I'm afraid that it will be written on you, observing it in Jama'ah. Or to say that doing it in Jama'ah may be one of the conditions of what? Qiyamul Layl. That you can't do Qiyamul Layl if you want to do it. It is optional to do Qiyamul Layl or not to do it. But if you want to do it, it must be what? Must be in Jama'ah. This is one of the best interpretations. If you want to do Qiyamul Layl, it must be what in Jama'ah. That Imam was afraid that this thing was will be made compulsory in Ba'athi. That was why he desisted from doing it. Scholars have spread a lot of things that have to reconcile between the two statements. There is no contradiction in the statement of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the listeners, our understanding varies. What you understand, if somebody says something now, what you interpret from a statement will be different from what I will interpret, because our intellect varies. So there is no contradiction in the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we also benefit, as we have said, that Salatul Layl is not compulsory. That doesn't mean that we are not encouraging people to do it. The hadith of Abu Yahya al-Anu said that the Prophet كان يرغب في قيام الليل ولم يأمر فيه بعظيمة. He will encourage people to do قيام الليل ولم يأمر فيه بعظيمة. He will not make it compulsory on people. They will say that Abu Yahya al-Anu said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever prays in the night of Ramadan, Iman, with what? With faith. واحتسابا. Also, isn't that to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. What he has preceded of his sin will be forgiven. So look at the statement of Abu Yahya al-Anbu. كان يرغب في قيام الليل ولم يأمر فيه بعظيمة. See how the companions understood it. Not to make what is not compulsory on people as what compulsory. Likewise, the statement of Amr ibn al-Anbu also is in Muslim, is in Bukhari. that the Prophet went to him and his wife. So when he went to their house, the Prophet encouraged them to pray piyamuli. And Ali said, O Messenger of Allah, anfusuna biyadillah. In sha ba'athana, wa in sha lam yab'athna. Our souls are in the hands of Allah. If Allah wills, He returns us back to life. And if He wills, He takes our souls. And it was said that the Prophet of Allah was born, Wallah, wa huwa munsarif, He turns going, beating his time, and he says that he says, wa kana al-insanu akthar shay'an jadala. He said, man will always look for an excuse for himself. So he said, you have to do it. And that's why those who are camping people for MSS, whatever, trying to force those youths or those people that they must do Qiyam Layl, this is what it contradicts the Sunnah of the Prophet Allah. You encourage them. You are written at Qiyam Layl, wa lam ya'mur fi bi'azima. So, the response of Ali was allowing you, the Prophet Allah does not say you must do it. Likewise, one we are keeping coming to that. The Prophet Allah is trying to encourage somebody to do Qiyam Layl. Hey, Abdullah, you have to come to Fulan, and I have come to Layl from Matara. Well, did I don't be like so and so person? It was said that the Prophet Allah mentioned the name of that person. Some scholars said Jin mentioned. Just a song like so and so person. He used to watch do Qiyam Layl from Matara. So, in things like this, you bring a hadith to encourage people to do Qiyam Layl. The reward for doing Qiyam Layl. At the same time, you will not be too rigid on it, so the effort at work, you make it compulsory on people. Because to make what Allah has not made compulsory on people, compulsory is also a great sin. And that's why the scholars, before they talk, they try to look at all the available evidences that they can lay their hands upon, and with that, then they speak. With that, they take a position. But for you to just see a hadith, or to just see a verse, and use that verse or that hadith to just establish your position like that, most of the time it leads to evil. And that's why one has to be very, very careful before one talks, because of the fitna that will become part of that. Take for instance, some of you in the Khariji, for instance, who believe that any person who does any great sin is a kafir, he will dwell in hellfire forever. She asked him, what is the evidence for that? Say Allah, my dad, wa man ya'ati Allah wa rasulahu fa inna lahu nara ja'annama khalidina fi abada. Whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, there is hellfire for him. He will dwell in forever. So this is my evidence. So a Murji, somebody who says, what does you call yourself a believer, you believe in Allah in your heart? What do you mean matter whether you pray or you don't pray? He asks him, what is your own evidence as well? You also bring evidence. Either from the Quran or the Sunnah. But somebody who is the Ahlul Sunnah will try to bring all the evidences. In the Quran and the Sunnah, we say, no, this is the meaning of this. This is how the Prophet of Allah explained this one to the companions. This is how they carried it out. And that's why there is no way out except to practice your Islam according to the Quran and Sunnah, not according to your own interpretation. According to the understanding of the pious predecessors. There is no way out. If one understands, interprets the Quran and the Sunnah based on his own interpretation, then it becomes a Khariji, or it becomes a Murji, or it becomes a Mu'tazili, or it becomes an Ash'ari, like that. Just, and that's why we have to be very careful. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Fasting of Shabbat. Now, concerning the fast of Shaban, Aisha radiallahu anha has continued Sahih, said that the Prophet Allah who fast Shaban, most of Shaban or all of Shaban, as she said. Now, there is a hadith that the Prophet Allah said, is on top of a Shaban, Falatasum. When Shaban gets to us, Falatasum, don't act. These Hadith scholars disagree concerning the authenticity. Some scholars authenticated it, and they say one cannot go beyond half of Shaban. Why some say it is authentic, though it is just a recommendation that one should not go beyond 15. So that one will be strong enough to pass Ramadan, because Ramadan is what is compulsory. So Shaban is not compulsory. So why some say the hadith is da'if? Those who say the hadith is da'if, they rely upon some other hadith, apart from the chain of the hadith. They rely upon some other hadith, like the hadith that the Prophet of Allah will fast most of Sha'ban or all of Sha'ban. That shows you can fast. Then another hadith that says that La taqabla Ramadan before the yawni, how you mean? If Ramadan is approaching, don't fast 2 days or a day to Ramadan. So they use these two hadith and some others to say that that hadith is what da'if, apart from the problem which is showing that some scholars have with that hadith. But the most correct opinion on this theory is that what? The hadith is authentic. The hadith of if Shaban gets to up, it just wants to discourage people from fasting so that they have enough strength to fast Ramadan, which is compulsory. So we also say that the other one that says that if Ramadan is approaching, a day or 2 days to Ramadan, don't fast. If somebody says that I can still fast when Ramadan gets to when the Shaban gets to us, I can still fast. So compulsory also, you shouldn't fast a day or 2 days, unless if that happens to be one of the fasting days. Maybe it happens to be a Monday that is used to fasting, then it can fast. But we assume we should fast it. So that shows that we can fast the whole of Sha'ban. We can fast the whole of Sha'ban, provided you are strong enough. It will not affect your Ramadan. If you know it's going to affect your Ramadan, then it is better. Then you don't fast or you fast up to 15. So coupled with the fact that the Prophet of Allah selected in Sha'ban, the actions of man will be taken to Allah. So the Prophet of Allah will fast because of that. And Sha'ban is the month that man will fast most apart from Ramadan. Now the another question is, what if it happens to be on the Saudi? And we have seen hadith that says لا تصوم يوم السبت إلا المصوم عليكم ولو لم يجد أحدكم إلا رياح عنب فليمضغه. How bad from God they accept that is his compulsion. Who if you can't find something to eat except the back of the tree, eat it. Don't fast on Saudi. Now this hadith is in Abu Dawud, but Abu Dawud is not saying the hadith is mansukh. That is his own comment. Having reported the hadith, that the hadith is what is mansukh, the word is abrogated. Now, some scholars, they say the hadith is authentic. Then the claim of being abrogated, that Abu Dawud said, where did he get that claim? The share of the hadith is authentic. Prove to us that it is abrogated, because before you say something is abrogated, you must bring what? The abrogator. Or the abrogator is not the abrogated. So that's why Some scholars said it is authentic. But what it means is that don't fast our day alone. So, what is the evidence? Why did they interpret it that way? They said the hadith of Juwayriya that she was fasting on Friday. And the Prophet of Allah Sallam entered her house, one of the wives of the Prophet of Allah Sallam. The Prophet of Allah Sallam asked her when he saw her fasting. As soon as he asked, did you fast yesterday, which was what, a Thursday? She said no. As we begin and the soon in Ghanem, you have intention of fasting tomorrow, which is what? So, you have intention of fasting tomorrow, which is Saturday. She said no. The Prophet of Allah said, is that fasting? If you don't have intention of fasting tomorrow, and you don't fast yesterday, then is that fasting? Break it. Because it is haram to fast Friday alone. As the Prophet of Allah said, لا تخصوا ليلة الجمعة في قيام الليل الليالي. Don't go out Friday's night for Nafila from among the other nights. Today people do it. Some people will say you have one Nafila on Thursday. Every Thursday night, as a torch, they will be doing the high truth. But that Thursday night that you think is what Friday night. That is exactly what the Prophet of Allah is forbidding. May Allah say what forbidden. So, La Tafusu, Layla Tajuma, Mikiyam Yubin Layan, don't single out Thursday night from all the other days, which was natural. Wa La Tafusu, Yom Al-Juma, Bisiyani, 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 and don't single out the day of Juma from all that is with what? With fasting. So that was when the Prophet of Allah told her not to fast, to break it. So now that I said, if you want to marry the hadith of don't fast on Saturday, and the hadith view intense fasting on Saturday, that means if one's intention is to fast Saturday plus Friday, there is no harm. Saturday plus Sunday, there is no harm. That is their interpretation. But there are some other scholars who say the hadith is sahih or the hadith is da'if, because to them it contradicts a lot of hadith, like the hadith of Juwayriya, like the hadith of what? 13:14-15. That means if 13:14-15 happens to be that we shouldn't fast it, like the hadith of fasting any 3 days of the month, and so on and so forth. Like the hadith of Arafah, the hadith of Ashura, they said that hadith contradicts a lot of authentic hadith. So based on that, we will not accept that hadith. And scholars of hadith may declare hadith to be da'if if it contradicts the well-known, something well-established thing in the text. So he said, the reporter may be secret, but he may have watched, he made a mistake in Twitter. Well, that's quite some strange, and that's the last opinion. That is sahih. And it is not what? Mansur. And it's not that you can marry it whether you fast Friday or you can fast it Sunday. Don't fast on Saturday as long as what is not compulsory. And that is the position of Sheikh Al-Bahr Rahmahu Allah Ta'ala. Sheikh Al-Bahr Rahmahu Allah Ta'ala is one known with that opinion today. There is no scholar who has taken this position before him. All the past scholars, if you read their works, they try to marry the hadith. Or some say not so, some say this. But the Sheikh said, no, if you look at the hadith, you and I have agreed that the hadith is authentic. So, some of us have argued that he is not what Mansur. Now, the many thing is what, let us look at the word, the text of the hadith. He says, La tasuma yawm al-sabt, don't fast on Sabbath. This is what Nahi. And it's one of the ways that you can say something is haram. One that is stronger than that is for you to say what? If the Prophet of Allah said this is what is haram wa falati hurimat alaykum is stronger than what saying la tasumu. La tasumu also means what? Don't fast. It also means what? Forbidden. But this thing is what? Just recommendation, just dispensation, and not what? That it is haram. Not only that you mean what? Haram. If you want dispensation. So, why did Spirit the Sheikh take it to mean dispensation? The Sheikh said, the Prophet of Allah said, وَلَوْ لَمْ يَجِبْ أَحَدُكُمْ Even if anyone of you cannot find, إِلَّا لِلَّهَ إِنَبِي Except the bark of Inab. For the Yambar, you should eat it. You should not fast. So based on that, then there is إِلَّا سِمَفْتُرُدُ عَلَيْكُمْ Except that is made compulsory to you. He said, okay, you are saying the fasting of Arafah happens to be on Saturday, the fasting of 13 for 15, fasting of if all these falls in one of the Saturdays. The question is, the question is it compulsory? If you say yes, then you have lied. If you say no, then you have agreed with the hadith, because the hadith says is what? In love, you must do except what is made compulsory on you, or what you made compulsory on yourself. Say for example, if Ramadan falls on the Saturday, you have to fulfill what? Compulsion. If you make nothing, that's what Allah has to do so and so, and I'm going to fast for 3 days. So Allah has done that thing. So you start for instance Saturday, start for instance Thursday, Friday, then you have to fast on Saturday because it's also compulsion. So the Sheikh said, unless if you can study anything is composed. The Sheikh now said, okay, let me ask you this question. You are saying Monday it is rewardable, fasting on 13, 14 or fasting on. Okay, let's take this example. If the day of Eid happens to be on a Monday, will you fast? The answer is what? No. Why can't you fast on the same day? Because there is a prohibition that the Prophet of Allah alayhi wa sallam na ansiyam yawm al-Eid. The first one for the fasting on the day of Eid. The Sheikh said that is exactly our evidence. Na ansiyam yawm al-Eid, the Prophet fasting on the day of what? Eid. La tasum yawm al-Qasi. إِلَّا تُمَوْتُونَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَجِدْ أَحْبُكُمْ إِلَّا لِيَامَ إِنَّمِينَ فَلْيَرْضَوْهِ He said, oh, this one is stronger than what? نَعَنْ يَامِنْ يَوْمِنْ إِنِّي So whatever be your answer to that, is our answer to this, that you single it out, that you can't fast on the day of faith, you will need it on Monday. So and so on and so on. So the Sheikh argued is, his arguments are strong. There are some other things. That this culture here is said, garden tomorrow. Garden tomorrow, which means what? On Saturday. This one is what? That is Yom Sati. Yom Sati is mentioned here. Why that one is what? By inference. You have to say which means what tomorrow. This one is not by inference. It is specifically mentioned. And according to the scholars of Usul, Al-Mantok, Mukhazam, Al-Mafbub. Whatever is mentioned clearly takes precedence over whatever is understood. So he brought some other usul fiqi argument. The other scholars also use some usul fiqi argument that hadith is not maybe reported by the two Sahih, Bukhari and Muslim and the like. I personally am convinced with the position of Sheikh Al-Bani, but I can't impose it on people. At times, I don't like answering the question. Because I'm always afraid to disagree with more of the scholars, particularly if they have evidences as well. Particularly if they have what? Evidences as well. But in terms of conviction, this is my own conviction. So scholars who took, or students of college, or those who are not students of knowledge, who take the opinion of the majority, this is not an issue of what? Or fighting or attacking that this person does not understand Sunnah, their opinion. You can't take opinions of Sheikh Al-Bani, for instance, you not impose it on people and you say this is the Sunnah that will be following. No. It is impossible. The Sheikh is only a human being. You see what you see. You may be right, you may be wrong. So once you take the opinion, all the opinion of somebody, you have imposed it on people that this is what you should be doing, and that is what is bitter. Because after the Prophet of Allah, there is nobody that is what? That is infallible. After the Prophet of Allah. So the argument of the Shaykh is strong, and that is my own opinion. But those who take other opinion, as long as they also have evidences that are watched, that are many, so we cannot tear them apart. Just like Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala says, تَلَّوْ عَنِّي أَحَدًا لَوْ رَأْيٌ لَوْ وَجْهٌ وَإِنْ خَلَفْنَا. He said, I will not attack somebody who has an opinion that has a weight, وَإِنْ خَلَفْنَا, though we may disagree with him. This is how the Prophet story related to one another, particularly with the use of trick in the past. This is what Noah was, clear what evidence is. They try to understand one another. Just like Al-Imam Shafi and Al-Imam Sufi, they debated about 21 issues. They were able to agree only on one. And Imam Shafi said, oh, Sufi is strong. When you are thickener, though they did not agree with us except in one issue. Imam Shafi could have said, you say you are this, you are that, you are the way a lot of us will do today. Issues that we are not supposed to use to tear ourselves apart. We take those issues to mention somebody being al-Sunnah. That's why you have to study very well before you attack. If you are a student of knowledge, you are a Mukalli. A Mukalli does not fight people. A Mukalli takes fatwa and practices it. And that's the end. This is what we should do. And when should he take his fatwa? He takes his fatwa from the person that appears to be the most learned person to him. He takes his fatwa from there. But he doesn't impose that thing on people. Rather, he takes it and he implements for his own. Why somebody who is a student of knowledge tries to know the evidences of the scholars who are disagreeing and takes the one that is most convincing of those evidences. He may debate with people, and if you have seen that this issue is the issue that was Islam is right there, he takes that, he doesn't attack the one who takes the other opinion. And unless if that issue is something that is clear, say for example somebody saying Salat al-Zuhr is 5 rakah. No, this is what is clear in the text. Such a person not only attacking him, if he insists, he may be called what? A kafir. Allahu
a'lam.
The Sheikh was asked the same question, and his answer is what? You should know his response to his answer. Shaban, is it compulsory? So if you say, okay, you will fast, the Prophet will fast every Monday, hadith. We have that hadith that you will fast watch every Monday. So will you fast on the Monday that falls on the same day? So you also know the answer to that. Now, those people should also have evidence that are fake. No, there are a lot of things that will come, like that of Arafah. You know, you want for fasting on Arafah, wiping the fasting of the year before the year coming. So somebody can ask, okay, don't fast on Saturday, it's fast. So even in Mecca, like scholars also disagree with him on that, and they debated it. In fact, Sheikh Abu Muslim Awad was one of those who took Sheikh Albani up. Both of them were, he said, I learned that the Sheikh said yes. Voilà ma vie, je sais que c'est que voilà, dis ça ça ça. Voilà ma vie, dis ça ça ça. So the essence that was Sheikh Abu Nawwan eventually, you know, was silent for Sheikh Al-Bani, because the last question he put to him is that what? Before the last question, he said, the Sheikh said, okay, will you pass on the day of Eid if it falls on Monday? The Sheikh said, no. So what will you end there? He said, ah, the hadith don't pass on the day of Eid now. But there is a hadith that you can fast on Monday. Or Islam will fast what? Will fast on Monday. The Sheikh said, no, we'll do the practice with. And then the same thing applied. The Sheikh was silent. I said, okay, we need the tape. The Sheikh said, yeah, okay, who is your salaf in this project? And he said, how about I recorded that hadith now? Now, what it is, if the scholar, if the scholar singularly takes a position, I see that a lot of scholars have disagreed with him, one should exercise what? Caution. So, and that is what my position. Some people, they also have what evidence. But when you continue to debate, so like nobody that can tell us that this is the correct answer. Unless if the Prophet of Allah Salaam was, we have a clear cut statement from the Prophet of Allah Salaam that what? That don't pass on how they, who if it is the day of Arafah, day of this, day of this, day of this. If all this has been mentioned, then no scholar can debate that because it is what specifically mentioned. But if it was specifically mentioned, it falls under issues of what is ijtihad. So we don't attack the people who think. Sheikh Al-Bani, for instance, now, will not attack those scholars. So that is your own opinion, that's my own opinion. But some of us who read the words of the Sheikh, or the work of another Sheikh, when we read, we become intoxicated. And we make problems. So that's that, not that you are saying that you are taking the wrong position. Some will go to the extent of saying what? It's not understand the Sunnah, they are not have the Sunnah. I've seen somebody who has said somebody is not a salafi because of what? One issue. And this is a controversial issue among the scholars. If you continue to do that, then there is no point to remain. So now, on that issue?
Yes.
On
it? Yes.
That's why I said most of all. كان يصوم أكثره أو كله. It's clear. You pass most of it or all of them. So that's what most of it or all of them. That is what Aisha Radhiallahu Anha said. So yeah, it is clear. So then concerning the other people, he said, if Ramadan is coming, they don't fast a day or 2 days before Ramadan, unless if it's a fasting that you are used to. Say for example, somebody said that this person honored three people. And that person now confessed to honor four people. Is there any contradiction? So that person, one who mentioned three, mentioned what before. Or he was interested in three, in those three people first. So one who mentioned the four has what additional information. But somebody who mentioned three, later mentioned four. So added what one to each. To make it possible. So there is no contradiction in it. So that's why the majority of the scholars, their position is that what you can find as many as possible in Sha'ban. Yeah? The only thing is that what you can encourage us to stop a day or 2 days to from the Sura of God to get trained to fast it. But if one is used to that fast, if it's on a Monday, then you should fast it. So Allah. Now, the issue of Ajnu, that most people do, that is your feet, when you are rising from your sujood to your qiyam, you press your feet against the ground and you rise on it like that. Now, this is another issue that is also controversial. Now, I've discussed a lot of things in this masjid of ours, but I've avoided talking about Ajnu. So maybe I discuss it with brothers that I know are curious in learning, not just to talk to discuss that among people who do not have skill or knowledge. So during Ajnu, there is a hadith on that, and that hadith is reported by Al-Harbi in his book Gharibul Asr. So in that book is a book meant for the explanation of words of a hadith. Maybe words using a hadith of the Prophet Allah Salam, the companions and so on and so forth. So the words used there, the book is like a dictionary. So you explain the words. So in that book, at times it will quote the chain of that hadith, it will quote the chain of the hadith, the hadith that contains the word that he wants to explain. So Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala saw the chain of that hadith and he authenticated the chain of that hadith. And that is the hadith that the Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that he saw the Prophet of Allah doing Ajnu in his Salah. So the Sheikh looking at the Sheikh authenticated the Sheikh of the Hadith. Now some scholars have been mentioning it, but they will not talk about the authenticity. Even when they are talking about how to pray, they will not include the issue of Ajnu in it. But Sheikh Al-Albani in his books, having seen the authenticity of the hadith that appeared to him, said Ajnu is what should be done. Of that is not wajib but sunnah. Now some mashayikh took the Sheikh up, like Sheikh Abu Abu Zayd, in his book Al-Azhar al-Alifiyya, was talking about five or so issues in that book. So he said the hadith is not authentic. After that, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala also wrote a rejoinder in Tamam al-Minna. Then if you read Tamam al-Minna, you have seen the rejoinder of Sheikh Al-Albani on somebody. He didn't mention his name, but he was just referring to that person. So he was referring to Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd in his book Al-Aqdar al-Hadithiyya. So the Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd now wrote another rejoinder on Tamam al-Minna in his book, which is type of tahdith, the Rafila la yasiru fi hadith. We were talking about practices common with the people that there is no authentic hadith back in it. He now included the issue of Ajnu. When he was not discussing it, the Sheikh now said that though our Sheikh Al-Albani maintains the position that the hadith is what is authentic, but the hadith is what is da'if. He said the only thing is that he did not like the way the Sheikh was what happened. So that we prefer that the Sheikh did not behave like Ibn Hazm. We would like him to behave like Ibn Qudama. So he said the hadith is what is da'if. Now, not only Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd said that it is da'if, Sheikh Mubin's position is that the hadith is also da'if. One of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani or who benefited from him as well. Likewise, Sheikh Maghrawi, Abdurrahman Maghrawi, also said the hadith is what da'if. But going back to the hadith, as a muqallid, the foolish Al-Albani, but a student of knowledge who is after evidence and not taking position of a particular scholar. Now the Sheikh brought hadith from the hadith of Al-Aysam ibn Imran. Going back to the book of Barajim, Al-Aysam ibn Imran was not declared, was not recommended by anyone except Ibn Shibban. Ibn Shibban was the only one that recommended it. And the principle that Sheikh Al-Albani himself established in his book Kanamul Minna is that the problem that Ibn Shibban himself, Ibn Shibban alone, recommended one should not rely upon it. Now Al-Aysam ibn Imran was recommended by Ibn Shibban only. So the Sheikh now did some extra work to justify the reason why he has agreed with Ibn Shibban on that. So that was what he did in Tamul Minna. In our approach, similar practice of Ibn Hajar, similar practice of some other scholars of Imam Zahabi, that they have authenticated some, recommended some people like that in this way. But the principle remains the same thing. That Aysam ibn Imran, it was only Ibn Hibban that recommended him. So the hadith remains da'if, and now that Sheikh Mubil said the hadith is what? Is da'if. Now all the scholars, they are not scared by the level of knowledge of one particular scholar. Only that person is what? Is their Sheikh directly. This is the issue of what? It's an issue of knowledge, not an issue of my Sheikh as such. Now I've said this thing many times. Sheikh Mashur Salman studied with Sheikh Al-Albani for more than 25 years. Sheikh Al-Albani said that the hadith of Al-Uthman ibn Abbas is authentic to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Mashur, his book, Tahqiq of Khilafiyat of Al-Imam Bayhaqi, wrote about 10 pages debunking the authenticity of that hadith. And he confirmed that the hadith is da'if to the Prophet Allah. And that was during the lifetime of Sheikh Al-Bani rahimahullah ta'ala. So the essence that Sheikh Al-Bani in this last year, I think, Volume 5, when he was commenting on some things, he said this, I benefited it from our brother, Mashhur, in his book, in a Tahqiq of Al-Khilafiyat. This is to show that what? The Sheikh himself has seen what? The Sheikh himself has seen the position of Mashhur, but he did not comment on that. So what is benefited from that work of Sheikh Mashhur? He mentioned it. So at that point, somebody disagrees with Sheikh Al-Albani. It is not a sign of being half-baked and a sign of not being serious with knowledge. So say because somebody disagrees with Sheikh Al-Albani, that person has now become now start attacking that person. The question is, Sheikh Al-Albani met some people before him, he disagreed with them, he disagreed with even 10 years of authentication, maybe not always authentication, even calling authentication. This person that you are saying now, that those who are disagreeing with Sheikh Al-Albani's authenticity, that those people that are just playing with knowledge, it's the same thing that somebody was, that people who are saying with Sheikh Al-Albani when he was at age 30, 32, 33, 34, disagreed with even 10 years of life. Say, who is this small boy? Disagree with. So let's leave that issue of small boy, big boy. The issue is what? Knowledge. What he has said, the reference is that he has directed us to. Is it the way he has said it or not? That is what matters as far as knowledge is concerned. But what I want to say, somebody disagrees with Al-Bani, that is not an issue. There are people who be saying we are students of hadith or we are this, and they are people on the view. Sheikh Al-Bani says hadith is authentic, he is authentic. He says it is authentic. No research, nothing. And another type of what? Technique. So, Allahu A'lam, I personally used to take the position of Al-Bani, particularly when we read Sifat Salat, read Tamam al-Minna. But if you read books of other scholars, you also see their position. So, you can't be a church between two people who are what? Disagreeing on the issue. If you have listened to this part, and you have also listened to this part. Listening to this part only will make you pass a wrong or a partial judgment. Wallahu a'lam, but my position is that I've stopped personally, I've stopped being arguing. I used to do it in the past, but I've stopped it because I'm not convinced with the evidences of the Sheikh in Tamam al-Jinnah, Ubun, his lectures. The Sheikh, more precisely, Dr. Al-Zaydi, his Nasr Huda wa-Nur, concerning the Hashim. Sheikh Ibrahim Shakra, one of the Muslim Sheikh al-Bani, said, Ya Sheikh, Alana kunu, yani adda'u ishtihabi ila dhalik. Can't we say that the ishtihab of Sheikh Dr. that has led him to take that position? Sheikh said, yeah, mumkin. And that was what the end of the discussion. So, Hajj is not something I personally am convinced of. Those who are convinced of this, no one, particularly those who are doing the place. But those who are invested in what and doing, not everybody is doing the place. There's nobody except that we do the place. Not in all issues. Okay? So the extent that you see, Imam Shafi or any other person say, okay, I'm being tested of Sufyan on this issue because he has not been able to gather material or evidence on that. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, discussion of something, said, we call it Ibn Taymiyyah, said, I do tested of Ibn Taymiyyah on that issue. The issue was not clear to the Sheikh, and he said, well, I prefer to do tested of Ibn Taymiyyah on this issue. So, people who do tested, there's no way that it's free from tested completely. But there are some people who are Mukhalidun completely. Yeah? So they will be smart on one issue, and that is choosing who will be their Mukhalidun. Who they will do tested on. There must be the adjet. Not that just take anybody and do tested. But those who are students of knowledge and Mutazirun, those who are following those scholars, what this person has said, they look at it. What this one has said, they look at it. They compare and they take a position sincerely, not as a lot of well, I think time will not be enough to address that. Maybe some other time, inshallah. Can a menstruating woman sit in the masjid to learn or study? Scholars disagree on this. The most correct opinion of Allah Alam is that she can enter and see. So I don't want to enter into details on this. Having understood that the Prophet would not observe Taraweeh in Ramadan in Jama'ah for his companions, except from the count of 20, 21, not 20, I said, the one that he did it was after 20, I not say 20 specifically. What would you say concerning observing Taraweeh in the first 20 in Jama'ah? But taking us back. I've explained this. Some scholars, majority of the scholars of the opinion that was in Ramadan, observing Qiyam Layl, that is whether you call it Taraweeh or whatever you like to call it. So observing it in Jama'ah is what is okay. After Ramadan, observing it in Jama'ah on a regular basis is what is bid'ah. Why minority the opinion that even in Ramadan, is not okay. Because the Prophet ﷺ told them what is the best. He said, Hatta Kashidu and Tufrodo Aleku. Until I was afraid that it was, it will be made compulsory. And he said, Fasallu bibuyutikum ayyuhannas. Pray in your houses, O people. For in the house of Salat is married, he may see him. Illa al-Maktuba. Contained in the wire of Bayaki and some others. So, based on that, they use that as argument like Al-Imam Sunnahani. And some others, Wallahu A'lam. So, if you pray, do. If you don't pray, don't attack those who are doing it. That's what I'm saying. So, because this question may be, maybe somebody wants to start fasting, that's why that, you know, it's bid'ah to do it. And that will lead to another trouble in the land again. So, Wallahu A'lam. Number, I'm suggesting trying to organize an Aqeedah class in English, maybe from the in 2 weeks time, inshallah, to coupled with this, because it is also important that we understand the right Aqeedah. Somebody may be listening to fiqh, may be sounding fiqh, based on what he has heard or he has read. When it's not good at Aqeedah, if Aqidah may be the Aqidah of the Ashaira, Aqidah of Mu'tazila, Aqidah of the Murji'a, Aqidah of the Maturidiyya, Aqidah of the Khawarij, somebody may be good in fiqh, but he has the opinion of the Khawarij for Jesus. So when we learn the Aqidah of Ahl-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is also, it also assists us. So what I have in mind is that maybe for the lecture we use 35 minutes for Aqidah, 35 minutes for fiqh before question and answer. But maybe as from maybe in 2 weeks time or so, but it's just to inform us that we'll be having something like that, because this is to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we do things that will benefit every one of us. So this is just to inform us. Now, in Ramadan we don't normally have a class because of some other activities in Ramadan. Concerning the time, next week, inshallah, the students, as in the fifth class, starts by 9, inshallah. So maybe by next week, we'll have concluded when to start the Aqidah class first, then the fifth class, when to start and when to end, then before we have the question and answer. Well, I don't have a problem with that. If we so desire, I don't have a problem with that. But I'm interested in also taking Aqidah, because that is the most important thing. I'm thinking of two groups, maybe the Aqidah Tahawiyya or the Sharh Usul Sunnah of Imam Ahmad. I will start with that first. Al Aqidah Tahawiyya or the Usul Sunnah. In Arabic. Now, most of those brothers who are coming here to learn Arabic are people who have also learned, you know, much of Aqidah in their head. So, it will not be okay to leave those who have not learned Aqidah at all. We just expose them to fiqh only, and you expose them to maybe different opinions. I'm saying this. In this month, I don't talk about different opinions of scholars. I tell them my own opinion. Because most of the people in this month are what? Because we do. So telling them your own is that so-and-so scholar has said, so-and-so has said, so they see that as what? Confusion. But those who are, when I tell my own opinion, that means the strongest opinion as far as what I've seen. Unless just if there is what it is necessary to mention difference of opinion, and if it is necessary, if it is not necessary at all, not mention it. But the case of brothers who are eager for knowledge is different. Some people will tell them your own favorite opinion, some people make trouble with that knowledge to the extent of what exchanging blows with people. But if you let them know that there are some other existing opinions, so they outweigh based on so and so reason, it can bend down a bit. So they will take it on the level of what trying to debate with that person, not on the level of trying to what finish that person or condemn that person. So that is one of the reasons why we are doing things like this. So then there are some people whose level has not grown to the level of what getting this knowing these differences. So it's not of really benefit for them, listening to them. At the same time, you can't tell them don't come. But if they learn some Aqidah, the Aqidah will make them understand that it is only in areas of fiqh that you see what difference of opinion that is what went to now. In Aqida of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are saying almost the same thing. But the issue of Aqida is not the issue of Ijtihad. In Aqida, you think like that. In the issue of fiqh, it has to do with what ruling. Can I do this? Can I do this? What if somebody does this? What should happen? When you interpret that thing, it will be different from when somebody interprets it. And that's why it cannot, you know, do away with that. Even in our common law, the word lawyers will interpret what? This lawyer will come and interpret this thing like this. This lawyer will also come and interpret this thing like this. And somebody with what? Who is guilty of a crime? Then what? Maybe innocent because of what the argument of the lawyer. You see it now? Because something that has to do with what really people's intellect varies in understanding. So that is also not free from the ahkam of the Sharia. There are some that are clear cut, there are some that there is no way there will be difference of opinion. And the way of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is how to understand and how to relate with those differences. If you don't know how to relate with those differences according to the Aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, you cause more harm. That's why you see those who are campaigning for there shouldn't be any difference of opinion. There are some people who are saying, okay, we have the Sunnah, we have the Sunnah. They are campaigning that we don't want to listen to any difference of opinion. Huh? This is what the only correct opinion. And when he's telling his only correct opinion, he'll be telling you his own opinion. What tells you that your own opinion is the only correct opinion? So what Allah has made, you know, wide and spacious for people, you can't put a link of it, you can't narrow it. Because Allah has allowed us in this area that people will be jihad. You're not trying to impose your own opinion on people. That is what is rather fitna, breaking the woman. So what people believe that what? For everybody to unite on all issues, that is what is the wahda. No, that is not wahda. Wahda is what? To unite upon what is clear from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is clear? Then what are different opinions on scholars, which are among the scholars? If that thing, maybe a scholar has gone wrong, then where he has gone wrong, you criticize that opinion. Then that makes the ruling of what is clear in Sharia great. You know, some scholars have taken what opinion that contradicts that. Then the third one is what scholars agree. There is no clear cut evidence from the Sunnah that says this is the right way. The position, the one that there is for us to know how to accommodate one another. Say for example, you believe that it is wahda that when all the Muslims in the world we celebrate Eid al-Adha on the same day. We celebrate Eid al-Fitr on the same day. That is not wahda. Because you are calling for what? An impossibility is not possible. Unless if everybody is ready to give up his own position. If Saudi Arabia is ready to listen to the fighting of other people. If these people are also ready to listen to this. But if they are not ready to listen, is there any room for that in the Sharia? Yes. It happened to the time of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He took his own opinion. He left that for what? Muhammad or the man. So if that is not lead to a difference of opinion, among the two companions fighting one another, what was it be and is you now? Why was it be calling for wahda that I should leave what I have and join you? And most of those who are calling for wahda today, that we should do wahda, they are calling for it, asking you to join their own society or their own. That's what they are calling for. If you are calling for wahda on what? Let us sit down and look at the Quran and the Sunnah. So whatever goes against my own wings and capacities from the Quran and Sunnah, I leave my own wings and capacities. And if there are things that are against the Sunnah in your own as well, you leave them. Then with that, wahda can come. But we cannot achieve wahda that anybody will have the same opinion, the same issue, the same. All the companions never had what the same opinion on all matters of what fit, except those that are clear. So, Allah. Now, last question.
No problem with that.